Okay, tonight is the second part of the series of the Halachot Kashrut. Last week we went over a lot of Halachot regarding eating meat and milk together and how to separate between milk and meat. Tonight I want to talk about four or five different issues that have to do with Kashrut. First of all, there's a Halacha that one has to have in the kitchen a knife for milchik and a knife for fleshik. Cannot use a knife of fleshik to cut devarim charifim, which means sharp stuff. What is considered sharp? If you have garlic, onion, radish, sharp pepper, lemon, or if you have salty fish, real salty fish, and if you have pickles that are very salty, or if you have olives that they are sharp and very salty, if somebody cuts, you know, if somebody cuts one of these things with a fleshik knife, you are not allowed to eat that whatever you cut with the milchik. Normally, if something is cold, you are allowed to cut something that's cold and eat it with the other. So let's say I want to have a bread. If I cut a bread with a fleshik knife, I'm allowed to have that piece of bread with milchik, as long as everything is cold. But when it comes to devarim charifim, the sharp stuff, then you can, even though that everything is cold, you cannot have, you can't cut something that is cold with a fleshik knife or milchik knife and eat it with a fleshik or milchik. Now, let's say you are in a place, you have only one knife, right? You have fleshik knife, and you want to have, you want, let's say you have a piece of onion, you want to cut a piece of onion, and you want to use it for pizza. How can you use your fleshik knife to cut an onion and eat it with milchik? The Halacha tells us that you have to noes 10 times in the hard ground. Nobody does that. What can you do to replace this Halacha? Rabbi Eliashiv says that if you wash them with hot water and soap very nicely, you are allowed to use a fleshik knife, cut the onion and use the onion for milchik. Now, if somebody use an onion and cut it with a fleshik knife, but the cutting board is milchik, right? Then the onion becomes treif. Either you have, let's say you use it, whatever the cutting board is also, let's say I'm using a parma knife, cutting a piece of onion on a fleshik cutting board, whatever the cutting board is, that onion becomes whatever the cutting board is. Even though I use the fleshik parma knife. Therefore, you have to make sure the cutting board also has to be parv. Or if you want to use that onion for fleshik, then use a fleshik cutting board. Cannot use a cutting board that is milchik and use, and even though the knife is tar, you cannot use the onion for fleshik. Now, what about if you want to use the onion for fish? Are you allowed to use a knife which is fleshik, cut the onion and use the onion for fish? L'chatechila, one should be machmir to do that, but if you don't have any other knife, you are allowed to cut the onion with fleshik knife or milchik. Milchik is not a problem, but with fleshik knife, and use the fish, use the onion with the fish. Now, I just want to make one note here. All this halachot that I said is for Ashkenazi. For Sephardim, it's a different ballgame. for Sephardim, you could be makel on everything I said, as long as the knife is not used within 24 hours. Okay? For Ashkenazim, does not make a difference if the knife was used within 24 hours or was not used within 24 hours. For Sephardim, if the knife was not used for 24 hours, if you have nothing else, or you did it already, the food does not become tref. But for Ashkenazim, even if you used it, you have to throw the food away, then doesn't make a difference if the knife was used 24 hours or was not used 24 hours. Now, let's say you cut an onion with the fleshy knife and you put it, let's say you cut an onion with the paper knife and you cook the onion in a fleshy or milchik pot, the onion becomes fleshy or milchik. Whatever pot you cooked in, that onion as a din of fleshy or milchik. Even the kli was not used within 24 hours. Again, for Sephardim, it's mutar. You are allowed to use. It's not a problem.
If the pot is not used for 24 hours,
that's right. If for Sephardim, if the pot was not used for 24 hours, then you're allowed to. The onion does not become fleshy or milchik. If you you cook the onion in a milchik pot, and the pot was not used for 24 hours, don't use it for salad, and use the salad for with fleishik. Let's say you want to make I don't know what salads are out there that has knives. Every salad has onions in it. If whatever knife you use, even though that you mix it with other things, you cannot use that salad with fleishik. For Sephardim, again, it's mutar to do that. Now, this halakha that I said regarding the sharp stuff like onion or garlic or radish or pepper, all these halakhot, all these things that I said, if you cook them, then the davar charif does not apply to them anymore. Let's say you take onion. You cook the onion. Once it's cooked and you cut it with the knife, whatever the knife is, that onion doesn't become fleshy or milchik anymore. Because once something, the word kharif, something sharp was cooked already, then it's okay, it's not a problem, and does not have a din of the word kharif anymore. Therefore, the best thing is, the best custom for anybody at home is that you should have a knife which is used only for cutting onions. Every Jewish home should have that. This way you never going to have any problems at home. Buy a knife and put the knife away. The knife is parved. That knife is only used for cutting onions or garlic or pepper or whatever is considered the bar kharif. This way you're never going to have any problems, and anything you could cut with that knife and use it for fleshig and milchig and do whatever you want to do, never going to have any problems with it. Mm-hmm. Now, questions at the end. I'm going to get questions. Now, if you... this question, a lot of women ask this question. If you cut a piece of onion, right, with a fleshig knife, then you put that onion in a blender, right? What is the din of that blender? Is that blender becomes fleshy, or the blender is parved? That's everybody's blender normally is parved. You cut the knife, you cut the onion with the fleshy knife, and put it inside the blender, which is parved. What's the din of that blender? Is the machloket aposkin? Some say that the blender now becomes fleshy. Some say the blender stays parved. Now you could be mekel. You don't have to make your blender fleshy, you could keep it as fat, and it's not a problem. Now this is the halachot of davar kharif, which is 90% question that happens in people's kitchen has to do with this halacha. Our people are not paying attention, they don't understand it's considered davar kharif, or they don't know, and they use knives for fleshy or milchig, and they cut things, onions and garlics and things like that, and they don't pay attention that he went to the fence. A lot of times the cutting board that people use, they are not paying attention that the cutting board should also be part. It should not be fleshy called milchik. The cutting board or the plate. Let's say you take a plate and you cut your onion on the plate. Whatever the plate is, that even though that user part the knife, whatever the plate is, that onion has a din of the plate. It doesn't have to be the knife alone. Anything else that's involved with cutting it, that also has the din. The onion gets the din of that plate or cutting board. Now we go to halacha of fish. Everybody knows that there's all machloket about certain fishes that people should not use, because there are worms in them, or they found worms in them, or some of the fish are not acceptable. And also, I'm sure everybody knows that some kashrut agencies say it's okay, some kashrut agencies say it's not okay. Lema'aseh, there is not too many fishes that are really nogeya to this halacha, because those fishes that there's argument about them is not so, people normally they are not using them. If somebody has a question about certain fish, should they use it, shouldn't they use it, they should ask the rabbi and follow the psak of a rabbi. I can't tell you what is it okay or is not okay, but you should ask your rabbi to find out if that fish that you are interested in, is it part of that list. Now, what about the, you have fish oils. Everybody now uses fish oils. And the kosher fish oils are very expensive. Right? And the doctors today recommend that everybody should take 1400 milligrams of fish oil every day. Now, there's only one company that makes a kosher fish oil, and you have to order it through the mail to come. The halacha is that the chatechila, one should take a kosher fish oil, should not use a non-kosher, but if it is not available, you are allowed to buy a non-kosher fish oil, or let's say your doctor says there's a specific brand they want you to use, or that specific brand is not a kosher, does not make, you are allowed to use a regular brand as long as the fish oil comes in the form of a capsule. You cannot use the regular fish oil. If it comes through in the form of a capsule, you swallow them, then you b'shat adachar kol. I'm not saying achat tekhila. Only b'shat adachar. If you have no other way to get a kosher fish oil, and you are in a situation that is not available, then you could use those type of fish oils. The other halacha regarding a fish is people go to Kroger or farmer's market or Publix and they want to buy fish. L'chatechila, one should take their knives and cutting board. You cannot use a cutting board or the knife of Kroger or farmer's market to cut a fish, because they don't clean the knives between the kosher and non-kosher. And a lot of these knives have fat on them, and once they touch the kosher and non-kosher fish, they absorb the fat, and the fish becomes non-kosher. The only way you could kosher it is, you have to cut the place that the knife touched, or the whole piece you have to take off. You should not, if you rely on that, you should take your knife and cutting board also, because the cutting board, the ones that they have, they don't clean between kosher and non-kosher. We cannot rely on whatever they tell you. We know that it's asur to eat meat and fish together. That's a minhag Israel, and the Chazal tell us the reason is because it's a sakana involved. Then it's not good for your health, and one should not have meat and fish together. But one is allowed to have one after the other one, as long as you eat something between meat and fish. And you have to wash your mouth, and you have to make sure your plate and fork and spoon and knives are changed and cleaned also. If somebody wants to make fish and meat together, right, in the same oven, same time, you can do it as long as one of them is covered. If you put the fish and meat together in the oven same time, if one of them is covered, it's fine. But if both of them are not covered, then you are not allowed to do that, and that makes the food non-kosher. This question also was asked a lot. Is one allowed to use the same pot to make meat, and right after that you want to make fish in the same pot? You are allowed to do that as long as you make sure that the pot is clean and there's no oil or anything left over from the fish or meat. You are allowed to use it for the other one. If you have oil that was used to fry fish or fry fish, and by mistake you put a piece of meat inside that oil, the fish, the meat is non-kosher, and the pot, you have to kasher the pot also. And the shadat achak, if you cannot kasher the pot, you have to wait 24 hours before using that pot. Because then the fish and meat is the gezerat chazal, and if you're using them, you're over the gezerat chazal, and chazal ushered it for us, and also it's sakana. We know that chazal tell us chamira sakanta meisura, anything that is considered sakana, we are more machmir, we are more strict than something that is really asur to do. Therefore, this halachot that has to do with the sakana, we are very, very machmir not to transgress this halachot. Now we go to halacha of eggs. If somebody buys the eggs, today kimat is not very rare to find an egg that has blood in them, but let's say you buy egg in the market that you find blood in them. If you find the blood between the place that white and yellow are touching in that spot, then you have to throw the whole egg is not kosher. You have to throw them away. The reason for that is because if you have find the blood there, that means that in that particular spot is becoming a chick, right? This is hatching, and that one is not allowed to eat something that is becoming the living creature. And when you see that, that shows that this egg is not real an egg; it's becoming something. And by you eating it, you're violating. You have to really wait to become a chick and shecht it. Cannot just eat it the way it is. Now, most of the time, you don't find blood in that spot. What you find blood either on the white or on the yellow. This halacha for Ashkenazim, if you find on the white or yellow, you have to throw it away. For Sephardim, if you find it on white, just take the blood out and throw it away. And then just take the blood, throw it, and the rest of the egg is kosher. And you find it on yellow, then the whole egg is not good. That's for Sephardim. For Ashkenazim, it doesn't make a difference where you find the blood. The whole egg is not kosher, and you have to throw them away. Now, all this halachot that I said is only, we're talking about real eggs. We know today the eggs that they sold in the market is not real eggs, right? Everybody knows that, right? That the eggs are, I'm talking about the eggs that you saw the chicken sat on it and made eggs. That this halacha applies to that. The eggs that you find in the market today, they call it in the Lashon of the Gemara, Safna Da'ara, and this eggs does not have a din of an egg. Therefore, according to halacha, really would be, even if you find it on the yellow, the egg would be fine. But because the egg is not, and it's not expensive item, the best thing is throw them away and treat the egg the same way that you would treat the real eggs, and don't use them. There's another halacha. The question's in the end. Another halacha that applies to eggs: the egg, garlic, and onion. Any of these three things, if you leave them overnight, you are not allowed to use them the next day. That's also because of sakana. Now, This halacha applies only if the egg, there's no shell on them, the garlic is peeled, and the onion is peeled. If they are not peeled, it's not a problem. And this halacha also applies even if you keep them in the refrigerator. Right? Even if you put them in a plastic wrap and tie them and wrap them around and put them in the refrigerator, you are not allowed to use them the next day. Okay, this halacha has nothing to do with some, maybe the snake gets to them or anything like that. It's halacha, Chazal made a gezerah that if you have any of these three things was sat in a place overnight, you cannot use them. Now, what about, a lot of people make egg salad, right? You make egg salad and they make Friday for Shabbos morning and you leave them overnight. That's okay. If you have an egg, let's say you want to make egg salad, you smash the egg, you add the mayonnaise or anything else. If you have an egg or onion or garlic, if you add anything to them, then you are allowed to keep them overnight. As long as something else was mixed with them. But if nothing was mixed with them, then you cannot use them. Therefore, if you want to make an egg salad, then add pepper or salt or mayonnaise or anything you want. Something else added to them, then you are allowed to leave them overnight and use it next day. Now, you have also, today they sell eggs that are peeled already in the market. Kosher with OU. Are you allowed to buy those? Now you might say there's OU and there was a problem. There are a lot of eggs today that they are mamash peeled, cooked, and they sell it in the market, peeled and ready to use. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, it's a chiddush of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says that you are allowed to use them because this Gezerat Chazal was only applied to people individually, not for business. In other words, people that they do it for business, and they have also betzim, they have eggs that they are frozen eggs. You are allowed to use them also, it's not a problem. Same halacha applies, you have peeled garlics that they sell in the market. You are allowed to use them also, you have peeled onions that they are sit in the market, that night passes by them, you don't have to worry about of this halacha that you cannot stay overnight. You could use them and it's not a problem. This halacha only applies in your house, by the way. For business, it's not a problem.
Why?
Because Rabbi Feinstein says this halacha is only for. Chazal made a gezerah for private homes, not for businesses. That's what the Rav Moshe Feinstein says. Okay, I want to talk about the halacha of pat akum and bishul akum. Chachamim, they made two gezerot. They made a gezerah that one is not allowed to have pat akum, a bread was made by a non-Jew, and also Chachamim, they made a gezerah that the food was made by a non-Jew, one is not allowed to have. Now the bread that was made by a non-Jew, Chachamim later on said, because it's something that everybody needs to have at home, they said, only if a pat was made for a business, let's say you have a baker as a business, and makes bread, you are allowed to have that in your house, but if you have a private person, that makes a kosher bread, not as business, then that, Chazal, they are suited under any circumstances. Now, this halacha really comes to light, let's say your next door neighbor invites you to come to their home, and they make muffins. This halacha, by the way, pat, bread, is not only bread, anything that was made with flour and barley and wheat and oat, this halacha applies to them. That means cakes, cookies, muffins, all these halachot, all these items, the halacha pat akum applies to them. Now that halacha comes to light, let's say your next door neighbor invites you to come by for Sunday afternoon. She says, cash my oven, or I have a new oven, I'm going to make for you good bread. Even though all the ingredients are kosher, and we know today everybody eats bread that is not at Israel, but because that neighbor is only making for you, and she's not, there's another business, that bread is considered patakum, and is no heter to eat that bread, or muffins, or cookies, or cakes. Right? That's halacha. This is very important, because a lot of people, they are not paying attention to this. They think that any kind of bread is okay to have, patakum, nobody's machmir. That's not true. Patakum is only, we are not machmir, if it was made in a company, or in a bakery, or you go to Publix or Kroger or any place like that. But the private person that makes a bread at home, that's exactly what Chazal made the Gezeran, because they didn't want people to have to congregate with each other and to have parties with each other and to go to each other's homes. And this is exactly the reason why Chachamim, they also this having this association with them. Now, what can you do to make a pat Israel? There are three things you can do in order to make a pat Israel. Either you have to turn on the fire, the oven, or you put the bread inside the oven, or you make the oven higher or lower. Do something with the fire of the oven. If you do one of these three things, then the pat, the bread, becomes a pat Israel. Okay. Now, if one does not have an opportunity to buy pat Israel, in other words, if you are living in a place that pat Israel is very available, one should be makpid to eat only pat Israel. But let's say you have a lot of breads. Let's say somebody has a necessity to have a certain type of chizkel bread. Chizkel bread is not pat Israel. You are if any type of a bread that is not available in the form of pat Israel, then one is allowed to have any type of bread that is patakum, but not pat Israel, and you could have them. Now, Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, the 10 days of Teshuvah, one has to be machmir and have pat Israel and cannot be make it. Now the question that also came up a lot is donuts have a din of pat Israel or bishul akum? What makes a big difference? The difference is like this. Let's say your next door neighbor says, I'm making a donut for you. How do people make donuts? They fry it in the fire. The donut does not have a din of a pat as a din of a bishul. And if you have a lot of donuts, you don't make a motzi on them. Donuts is not baked, it's cooked. Anything that is cooked does not have halacha of patakum as a din of bishulakum. That's what the din of the donuts is. Now another halacha, another gezerah that Chazal made, the halacha bishul akum. Bishul akum is a tremendous, tremendous halacha. There are so many sefarim are written about this halacha bishul akum, and this is where the sefaradim are in trouble. All halacha since last week I said all the chumrot for Ashkenazim, I said all the kulot for sefaradim. Bishul akum is one of the halachot that Sephardim are very machmir and Ashkenazim are very maker. What's the halacha bishul akum? The Chachamim, they made a gezerah that you cannot eat any food that was cooked by a goy. The reason the Gemara gives us is Shema ya'achilenu agoy davar asur. So they might give you something that's not kosher. Another reason the Chachamim give us is that if you eat the food that was made by a non-Jew, you might come and marry their daughter, and now it's going to be a wedding. Therefore, the Chazal made a gezerah that you cannot have any food that was made by a non-Jew. What foods are included into this halacha? The one of the things that is included, there's two things. One is has to be a food that is eaten raw. It cannot eat, and there was apple or cucumber or tomatoes, that halacha b'shulakum does not apply to them. The food has to be in a form that you have to cook them. That's number one. Number two has to be davar chashuv she'ole al shulchan melachim. The Gemara says, what does that mean? That means the food has to be so important that if you have an important guest in your house, you would serve that food for them. And it was, let me give a mashal. You wouldn't serve tuna fish, right? A tuna fish, you wouldn't serve. Let's say you have Adam Chash, an important person coming to your house, you would not serve a tuna fish to your guest. The only foods that are included to that are chashuva foods, important foods, which would be 99%, according to Rav Wasner, today, Bizman Azeh, 99% of the foods are considered davar chashuv, and therefore one has to treat everything as davar chashuv. That includes a potato chips. That includes rice, potatoes, and fish, meat, chicken, it's everything, basically everything that halacha b'shulakum would apply to them. Now how do you get out of problem of b'shulakum? There's two things that you can do. Either you have to turn on the fire, or you put the pot on top of the fire. Either one. That's for Ashkenazim. For Sephardim, the only thing that Sephardim have to do, there's no other way out, even though that the goy turn on the fire, they have to put the pot on top of the fire. If they don't do that, then the food is considered shulakum. But according to this, you cannot eat anything in America. That's I'm serious. And no food in America are observing the Sephardic halacha. Every ashkacha in America, they follow the Ashkenazi halacha. In other words, if you go to any restaurant in New York, you go to any, and you buy anything that has OU or K, Chafke, Sark, anything on them, they don't follow the Sephardic halacha. They follow what the Rama says, which means as long as they turn on the fire is fine. They are not careful, or they don't care to make sure that the Jew puts the pot on top of the fire. But that causes a big problem for Sephardim. That means you cannot eat the Chai Peking, you cannot eat in Steve, you cannot eat in Broadway, you cannot eat anywhere. That's the real problem. For Sephardim, Ashkenazim is not a problem. Now, how do you get around that? So you didn't come here tonight to hear that you cannot eat anywhere. You wouldn't come to this class if you know that I'm going to say that. How do you get out of that? Rav Ovadia Yosef says, as he has a heter, that you are allowed to do that. Only one situation that even the Sephardim cannot do that, and that is if the owner of the business is not Jewish, even though that he has a mashgiach, and the mashgiach only turns on the fire. If the mashgiach does not put the fire on top of the fire, then the Sephardim are not allowed to eat that food. And there are places like that. In Baltimore, I know there's a place, there's a Chinese place in Baltimore, the owner is a Chinese guy. And they have a mashgiach tamidi. The ashkacha is a very good ashkacha, but the Sephardim are not allowed to eat in that place because the food, the mashgiach only turns on the fire, it does not put the food on top of the fire. But the other places, I myself asked Rabbi Yosef 30 years ago this halacha. Because in yeshiva, when we were in yeshiva, we didn't allow to eat anything. The yeshiva was following the halacha of according to Rama, and for Sephardim, I mean, they couldn't worry about Sephardim, they should make sure they put the pot above the fire. I asked Rav Ovadia Yosef what one should do. He said there's a safek involved, and he said you are allowed to be makel in America, you are allowed to be makel and follow the ashkacha, that if as long as the ashkacha is good ashkacha, you are allowed to eat from that dashkacha. Now, the other question is microwave? Is microwave considered a fire or is not considered a fire? In other words, if let's say you have a maid at home and the maid put the food inside the microwave and cooked it, right? You didn't turn it on, you didn't put it on, and the food is cooked. Is microwave as a din of a fire or does not have a din of fire? A lot of poskim hold that has a din of a fire and therefore it's considered bishulakum. Rav Heinemann holds that that microwave does not have a din of a fire, and it could be mekel and treat it not as a din of fire, and something was cooked inside the microwave does not have a din of bishulakum. The other thing is with the bishulakum is that the goy has to cook the food in order to become bishulakum. So I'll give an example that also a lot of people are not paying attention to that. Have you seen instant soup? Instant soup, the soup itself is not edible. When does it become edible? If you pour hot water over it. If a goy pours hot water over this instant soup is treif. Because the goy cooked the instant soup. There are a lot of things like that. Or let's say you have mashed potatoes. You have your maid pouring hot water. The water was cooked. She just takes the water and pours it over the mashed potato and makes the mashed potato. The mashed potato becomes not kosher because ultimately the goy made the mashed potato. Or ultimately the goy made the instant soup. Right, or the jello, same thing. If they do anything that they come out with the finished product and they make it, they cook it and they make it to a food it's supposed to be, they made it and therefore the food is not considered a kosher food. The other thing that you have with maids at home. One of the things that has, but a person has to be very, very careful, two things. I just had a question today. Somebody said they had a non-mabushal wine sitting on top of their counter. They went out, they had a maid at home, and the maid was cleaning the counter, and they put the wine away. Is the wine kosher? No, it's not kosher. Once the wine was touched by a non-Jew, the wine is not kosher as long as it's not mabushal. Now, the other thing is, you have one of the important halachot that one has to be careful with maids is basar shenit alei min ha'ayin. That means if you have a piece of meat that is not sealed and you leave it inside your refrigerator and you leave the house, you come back and the goy was alone with that piece of meat, how do you know there's a kosher piece of meat? That's Chazal also, they made a gezerah that piece of meat is considered basar shenit alem min ayin. That means a piece of meat that was hidden from your eyes for a period of time. That halacha only applies for meat and chicken. This halacha does not apply for fish or cheese or anything. It's only meat and chicken. Therefore, one has to be, if you want to leave the house, either you have to make sure all your meat and chicken is sealed in a way that you know if somebody opens it, you would find out. Don't leave everything in the refrigerator and leave the house. Or let's say you want to send something with your maid to somebody else's, and that food has a meat or chicken in it, you have to make sure that they are sealed properly in order to send it away to your neighbor, to your friend, in order not to become treif. Now, what happens if you didn't do that? Let's say you have a lot of meat in your refrigerator. Today, you had your maid came clean up your house. You didn't seal it. You didn't pay attention, and you came home today and you find out this halacha. What is the halacha regarding your meat and chicken? The halacha is like this. We had this shayla about 4 years ago in a hotel. The mashkiach forgot to seal the food. Was Sunday morning, remember, Sunday morning 9 o'clock and the wedding was 12 o'clock. They cooked the food night before and they left it out. They forgot to seal the food before they put it inside the refrigerator. The mashgiach came Sunday morning. They found out that the meat was not sealed. Right? What do you do? In order to, that's only b'dieved. If you didn't do that, then if you have a teviut ayin, which means that you could recognize the meat with your eyes, as if you look at it, you know this is your cooking, right? You know this is a piece of meat that you left today. By looking at it, you could identify the piece of meat or chicken, then you could be makel and use it. But if you don't have no idea if this piece of chicken was from Kroger or from Steve, right? You have no idea. You don't know what you left at home. You don't remember what kind, how the package was, or you don't remember was it top, was it bottom. You have no idea. Then you have to throw the meat away. You cannot use it because of basar shenitaleh min ha'ayin. An egg, as even though the egg normally would not be served for important people, still eggs as a din of bishul akum applies to them, and one is not allowed to have an egg if a goy made them. Coffee and tea. If somebody wants to have a coffee and tea, in this is when one goes to Starbucks, and when I have coffee or tea, the halacha bishul akum does not apply to them, and you are allowed to have them. As a side note, this question also came up: what about if people are traveling in an airplane? They say they serve coffee and tea. Are you allowed to have the coffee and tea in the airplane? The problem in the airplanes are the pot that they have the coffee in them. They wash that pot inside the terminal with the non-kosher dishes. Right? Then they bring it to the airplane and they pour coffee in them and they serve the coffee. But you are allowed to use, that's not a problem, because of a lot of sefeko that is involved. But lemaaseh, one is allowed to use a coffee or a hot water in the airplane that they serve to everybody, even though that the pot that they use, it is not kosher and it was washed with the non-kosher stuff. Another halacha regarding coffee is that when you go to buy coffee from Kroger or Publix, they have a machine that they grind coffee, right? Are you allowed to use that grinder for your coffee? The grinder, the problem with those grinders are, if you see that all the coffees, flavored or not flavored, are all kosher, then you could use it. If it's not, then you cannot use the grinder for your coffee, because whatever they put, that there's no halacha what coffee goes into that place. Anybody could bring any coffee and they could use it, but if everything in the store is kosher, could assume that only coffee went to that machine was the coffee from that store, and as long as they are kosher, could use them. One also has to be careful if you have a maid at home, right? Let's say a maid comes and says, you know what, I want to have a piece of fish for lunch. Say, fine, cook for yourself. If she takes a piece of salmon from your freezer and puts it in the pot and puts it on top of the fire and turns on the fire for herself and she eats it, she made your pot shrev. Because the halacha bishul akum applies to your pot also. And one has to carry, if you have a pot or you have a plate, you have a spoon, fork that was involved with bishul akum, the pot becomes not kosher and you have to kasher the pot. Therefore, even if you have a maid at home and they want to make lunch or so, let's say you have a living in maid and she wants to come up in the middle of the night, make herself a sandwich or cook something, she cannot use your dishes. Because anything she uses, that makes a tref. Because the halacha, even I'm talking about everything is called, all the ingredients are kosher. If the old ingredients, even if all the ingredients are kosher, the fact that she cooked it makes your pot and pans to a non-kosher material. The only way you could kosher these pots and pans, you have to do agala on them, you have to wait. It's a real mabash non-kosher stuff. You have to wait and kosher them, and then you could use them. One more halacha regarding bishulakum. What happens if you have, let's say, goy put the food on top of the fire? You come home, see all of a sudden food on top of the fire. The only thing you can do, you have to pick it up and put it down. Right? If you take the pot out and then you put it down before the food was cooked, then you made the food to a bishul Israel. But if the food was already cooked, then by you taking it and putting it down, it's not going to help it. Or what you can do, could turn off the fire and let the oven stove cool off, then turn it on. That also could make it to a bishul Israel. But by just let it go, it's not going to become anything. The other thing you can do, also if you have pellets, if you have pellet fire in your stove, that also if you turn on the pellet, and the goy turns it on, that's okay, that's considered part of bishul Israel. And the best thing is to do, if you are made at home and you have a stove and ovens, the best thing is to do, buy those type of stoves that they have a pilot light, and turn on the pilot, and you turn on the pilot light, and let it stay like that, and whenever the goy wants to make, they could make whatever they want, and then everybody's safe, it's not a problem anymore. There are some people, what they do, which it is also is machloket, here in Atlanta we don't hold off that, what they do, they put a timer on, and they put the oven with a timer. They set it up at 12 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning, it comes on with a timer and the maid cooks food in there. The timer does not, like Rabbi Heinemann says, is not a bishul akum, but it's not a bishul Israel either. It's a bishul timer. Right? The timer is cooking it. It's not Israel is not doing anything to it. Okay, now the question.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.